It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions. He has answers. It's portable, practical pediatrics on your schedule. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Hello, and welcome aboard. I'm your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin, creator of DocSmo.com. Portable, practical pediatrics is what we promise to deliver with each PEDcast. From the diapers to the diploma, if it involves children, yeah, we talk about it here. Today, I'm going to let you know about a seismic shift that has occurred in the past year with regards to our understanding of allergy, specifically peanut allergy, and likely all types of allergy that children can develop. We've known for a long time that children born in Western cultures during the late 20th and early 21st centuries have a much higher chance of developing one of the allergic diseases than do children born elsewhere in the world. Those allergic diseases, yeah, they're asthma, hay fever, eczema, and the subject of today's talk, peanut allergy and other food allergies. We've talked about this a lot in various PEDcasts on DocSmo.com in the past 5 years, but the reasons behind this growing allergy trend are beginning to become much clearer. If you want to listen to some of my old casts about this, go right ahead. I've got a list of them at my website. So why so much allergy? That's the subject of today's PEDcast. And more importantly, what are the current recommendations that experts give to help parents avoid having their children become peanut allergic in the first place? What can parents do to avoid peanut allergy? First, before we get started, let me remind my listeners that I'm a pediatrician, not a pediatric allergist. But I read a lot, and I think I'm pretty well informed. If what I'm about to tell you today is true, it may be the starting line of better understanding of why some children develop allergy, and conversely, why most children do not. As I said before, we have had an inkling for a long time that environmental exposures at critical times in a child's development have something to do with whether a child becomes allergic or whether they don't become allergic. For instance, we've known for a long time that children born to moms who take probiotics during late pregnancy and children who are raised on farms and children raised in homes with older children and pets and children whose parents hand wash the dishes they eat off of, all these groups of children have less chance of developing allergic diseases as they get older. The theme here is that early exposure to germs seems to induce more tolerance to the stuff that many children become allergic to. Researchers feel that the amount and kind of bacteria that colonizes a newborn's intestines in infancy to a large degree determines how their immune system will develop or whether or not they will become allergic. Now, a new study called the LEAP study has also shed much more light on the process called immune tolerance, specifically tolerance to peanut protein. Researchers doing this study found that many children who were at high risk of developing peanut allergy, if these children were exposed to the peanut protein frequently between 4 months and 11 months of age on a regular basis, they developed tolerance to peanut protein and avoided becoming allergic. The data was so dramatic that this one study has led to a new recommendation from the Academy of Pediatrics. Infants at high risk of developing food allergies should be given at least 3 teaspoons per week of peanut protein to help them induce immune tolerance and avoid being allergic. Now, they defined high risk in this study as having severe eczema. Now, to get this effect of allergy reduction, children in the LEAP study were fed the following forms of protein that I've got listed on my website. Smooth peanut butter, a teaspoon, mixed with milk or mashed with pureed fruit. Bomba sticks, which are sticks made of peanut protein that can be either dissolved or the child can chew on them. Peanut soup, or finally ground peanuts mixed into other foods such as yogurt. They do not recommend that you give children peanuts because of the choking risk. While the LEAP study only studied the benefits of giving peanut protein to children with severe eczema, it seems logical that the same benefit of allergy reduction would apply to children without eczema. In fact, the lead author of the LEAP study, Dr. Gideon Lack, a British researcher, recommends that low-risk children be given peanut protein as they are weaned, just like the high-risk kids were given in the LEAP study. Parents who had traditionally given peanut protein to their young infants, like the Israelis and many African cultures, they find that peanut allergy is quite rare among their children. The lesson learned: early exposure means tolerance and not allergy. This observation jives with the LEAP study. If you have an infant in your house, it's important that you talk to their pediatrician about this new information and get their recommendation. Early peanut protein introduction is not for every child, so make sure that this subject comes up at your infant's checkups between 4 months and 11 months of age. If you could avoid your child becoming peanut allergic, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Well, as you can see, this information probably has tremendous implications for the future of allergy research. Scientists have probably been asking the wrong question for a very long time. Instead of wondering what triggers allergy in children, they should have been wondering what would induce immune tolerance in children, especially during infancy. It looks like we're getting a little closer to knowing what those factors are likely to be, at least for peanut protein and possibly for a lot of other allergy-inducing foods and dust and who knows what else. Well, that's a lot to think about. Fascinating, though, wouldn't you say? And potentially very important for infants and children in today's allergic world. Well, thank you for joining me for this edition of Portable Practical Pediatrics. If you want to get a free pediatric education and almost assuredly be the best informed parent in the room, subscribe to my blog at www.doxmo.com. It's free, and I will send you notice each week by email of what is posted that week. Or alternatively, go to iTunes and you can subscribe there, or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+. Either way, I feel certain you'll be glad you did. This is Doc Smo bringing you today's fact about which little ones will likely react. Until next time. I would like to thank the following people for their assistance in the production of this podcast: Dr. David Jaffe, the voice of the introduction; Robert Beezer, the composer-arranger of the intro music; Ann Gesner, my wonderful content editor; Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof, the talented musicians who produced this delightful theme music; Sarah Smolin and Nathaniel Horlick for their digital wizardry; and Wendy Smolin Esquire and Seth, the Rocket Man Barrister Jaffe, for their inspirational guidance. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this PEDcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocSmo.com website. This DocSmo.com PEDcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.